the first half of this prophetic encounter between our Savior and his co-citizens of Nazareth. We heard last Sunday. Our Lord got up in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, and asked for the scroll with the prophet Elijah. And in the 11th chapter, he read that passage about Jesus himself being filled with the Holy Spirit, with all those gifts that we still associate with that, not just for him, but through him for us, which everybody in this synagogue recognized as one of the messianic prophecies. It's only four chapters removed from the great promise of the virgin birth, to a conception and birth. Well, we have the second half, and everybody was amazed that he could get up. This fellow here, why, he's nothing but a carpenter's son. He hasn't gone to school. He's illiterate. Just how in heaven's name can he talk like a prophet? And it didn't occur to anyone, because he is a prophet and more than a prophet. He is the one who is the Son of God and knows all prophecy. And so they began to mutter among themselves, as, well, it certainly is wonderful talk, but is it genuine? Is he the author? Or has he made an agreement? Later on, it was made public by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the others who were conspiring to execute our Lord for blasphemy. Why, he has made a contract with Beelzebub, the prince of devils. That's how he's getting away with this. And you see, he's not God. You see, he's not the Son of God. There's nothing particularly special. Our Lord turned and said to them, nobody in his own country, in his own town, is a prophet that is accepted. Yet here is the prophet of prophets, and he is being rejected by all but his mother and a few relatives. Our Lord mentioned two cases in the past Israel of Israel. We can meditate them, because much of what happened in Nazareth in those first few weeks after the public introduction of our Lord by his heavenly Father and then by his virgin mother at the wedding feast of Cana, are seeing be said today. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? What has he got to say about the modern world, about all of these wonderful things that science can do, about all of these movements? If we could only get everybody to agree that they come first, the welfare of this world, and then maybe we'll think about those who claim to be God. So our Lord has given the first example of the widow of Sarepta of Sidon, who during the time of the great fast, the 8th century before our Lord, was the only one to whom the prophet came, Elijah, asking for assistance, a little bit of food. But he found out that the little bit of food, the only little bit of food that was around, was in the house of this widow lady, and who was said, we have just enough to eat and then lie down and die. He said, do not worry, the Lord will take care of you. First, give me something to eat so I don't die first. And so she did, and so it happened. Where everybody else was starving, she and her son continued to have enough in the jar. They would use it up one day, and the jar was filled in the morning. And no one knew who came except Elijah. It was the Lord. And then the second case was the Syrian general who was fighting against Israel, the second half of the kingdom of David that had been split after his death. Nobody else in Israel was cured of the leprosy during that illness, that plague. Naaman was a little reluctant at first. He wasn't told to go to a fancy dry out place and get all fixed up. He took it down in the local brook. So his servant said, well, you can't lose anything. Might as well go and try it. If it doesn't work, you can go to your famous place in Damascus. ask us. So he went, as it were, with a simple formula, a blessing, and he was cured instantaneously. But none of the Israelites received a gift like that. And then those who had acknowledged the authority character of our Lord's proclamation that he is the one upon whom the Spirit has been poured out. When they recognized what it meant, they said it doesn't apply to him. They would not recognize who he was or love him or be willing, as it were, to walk in his footsteps. This is when our Lord made this statement. No prophet is welcome in his homeland. And they were so angry that they decided to anticipate the condemnation when it was scheduled for the Heavenly Father. So they took our Lord and they pushed him along. If you've ever been in the old days, the Pope in the Basilica for an audience, that's when the doors were suddenly open. And the place would have been filled with 50,000 people. I was in it several times, and you just float along right out the door, or as though you didn't need to be carried out by anyone, and then dropped. You see all the steps, some hundred or so, so you'd be pretty banged up at the end. But our Lord walked away as we got to that brow of the hill on which their town was built. Dear brothers and sisters, as we prepare for the holy season of Lent, we want to concentrate on that self-denial, that blindness that comes, as it were. We see all of these things that are true, we can't deny them. We end up, as it were, in practice, denying everything. What does this come down to, in effect? A very, as it were, simple, and unfortunately, a bad way of declaring oneself God. I don't need God. I need American science, or I need some other country's latest weapons of war. Here will be the one who is top dog. It isn't that way. In his book on Jesus of Nazareth, Pope Benedict XVI has a wonderful quotation by the German Jesuit, a priest who was martyred in a concentration camp during the war by the Nazis. And he had made, just before he died, a rather accurate assessment of what is wrong with this. As in the prophet, in the first temptation of Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Enough fiber to keep everybody going. And our Lord said, do not believe by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Savior, by the will of God, what he ordains and why he ordains it. How true that is, seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, our Lord will state at the same time as this event occurred in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all the other things will be added. But if you keep insisting that the material goods are the first and most important, you will bring ruin on the entire creation. Freedom is better, but the most important thing, said Father Delp, is to be faithful to God, to love him, and to be willing, as it were, to accept what he decides for us as being, as it were, the truth and the goodness together. And that without that this kind of approach will not only not cure the hunger of so many at the present time, but it will bring about the entire collapse of the created world, because it cannot go on without first, as we're reflecting those laws, those principles without which it simply cannot continue to exist. Dear brothers and sisters, Lent is a wonderful season to draw close to the Savior, who is not a fraud, who does bring an effective solution for all these things. But first, we must start with the most important, that is the forgiveness of our sins, our willingness, as it were, to share reparation for sin by sharing his cross. Indeed, as it were, to give up the little pleasures that are of no particular consequence to us. They aren't sins, but they aren't great blessings either, except, as it were, to one who is excessively attached to his own pleasures and his own choices. Seek, as it were, to be close to our Lord, or to do what he wants to ask him for pardon, and ask pardon for others. And we will soon see, as it were a real change for the better. But first we must seek his kingdom. First we must seek, as it were, to be willing to die with him. First we must be willing, as it were, to do whatever he asks us to do in bringing to perfection in our midst the kingdom of God. Remember that when you pray the Our Father, not only during Lent, but during every moment that you spend before the Blessed Sacrament, and especially, as it were, when Holy Mass is the first prayer of the section known as the Communion section. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us what is the most precious gift, yourself. Give us this day our daily bread. In many places in the Greek and the Latin that was translated as our supersubstantial bread, our supersubstantial food. The food that, so long as we remain united with Jesus, that will always give us everlasting life. So that even if I die in the service of Jesus, I win. You think about that. I need to think about it. We all need to think. We so often forget. That our victory, and the only possible victory for anyone in attaining everlasting life, comes in placing all their hope in the victory of Jesus in his passion, death, and resurrection. Observance and no cultivation of the fast during Lent, even if it's just little things, it doesn't matter. It is the spirit with which we come to give whatever we can give in that way. Because the widow dropped all she had, only 2 pennies. What are you going to do to save the world with 2 pennies? If you give the 2 pennies to Jesus, everything. These are the things, as it were, and there are many others I can quote for you from the rest of the gospel accounts. But what had happened here quite clearly happened on a king-size scale when Jesus was brought before the court of justice of the Jews. I can't think of the name of it right now, and then handed over to the Romans to do the rest of the dirty work. Whether we're Jews or Gentiles, we have some part in this drama. And if we, as it were, with so many other saints over the centuries, seek, as it were, to live closely united to our Lord, and indeed, as it were, to become the wire, you might say, that connects us with Jesus and to all of those, as it were, whom he had before him in the Garden of Gethsemane, to come and recognize that already they have a taste of everlasting life. And if they remain united to Jesus, put him first, not the ancient and not the current machinery that is supposed to save everyone before them. Before we will soon find ourselves entering in some way into the lost paradise, a paradise that is far better than the lost one, because it is the place of dwelling of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.